Now, the part of the chapter I want to start with, in verse number 1, it says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." Now, those that go down into the pit, that's referring to hell. And we're going to go into that a little more later on. But he said, I don't want to be like those that go down to the pit. He's like, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to go to hell. But he said, if God were to not listen to me when I pray, that reminds me of how it is for those who are not saved. Because let me tell you something. God does not hear the prayers of an unsaved man. Now, many people think that he hears everyone's prayers and so forth, but it's just not true. We are not all God's children. As many as received him, the Bible says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let me just give you a few scriptures on this. If you would, turn in your Bible to Proverbs 28. We're in Psalm 28. But if you flip over to Proverbs 28, and while you're turning there, I'll read you another scripture, Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Look at Proverbs 28:9. The Bible says this, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So somebody who doesn't want to listen to what God has to say, somebody who doesn't want to listen to the Word of God, even their prayer is an abomination. You don't say, well, at least they're praying. No, their prayer is sin. And there's another place where he says, let their prayer become sin. That's what David prayed upon some people in another part of Psalms. Here's another scripture about the believer. Psalm 66:18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Deuteronomy 3:26, Moses said, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. You see, it's possible for a Christian to get to the point where God is not listening to them when they pray, like he doesn't listen to those that go down to the pit. Because people that are not saved, God doesn't hear their prayers. Okay, but people that are saved, he does hear our prayers, but we can make God angry with us or wroth with us to where he won't hear our prayers. If we regard iniquity in our heart, he said he won't hear our prayers. He said in verse number 26 of Deuteronomy 3 that he didn't hear Moses' prayer because he was angry with them. 1 Samuel 8:18, I'll just give you the story quickly. You remember how they had asked a king against God's wishes and against the wishes of Samuel? And he warned them and he told them, this is what it's going to be like. You're going to lose freedom. And by the way, they had all kinds of freedom before that. They lived in a great country. But they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And they lost their freedom. They were taxed. He said, he'll take away your sons, your daughters. He'll force them to be in the military. He'll force them to be confectionaries in his palace. He'll force them to be his bakers. He'll take the best of your fields, the best of your vineyards, the best of your property. And just a few short chapters later, we see David facing Goliath. And he's told that whoever defeats Goliath, that his family will be made free in Israel. Wow, thank you. I can be free if I slay the giant. But before that, when it was under the system of the judges, everyone was free. Until they made the mistake of having a king set over them that basically would oppress them and so forth. But look what listen to what he said in 1 Samuel 8:18. You don't have to turn there. Samuel, after he finishes warning them all the reasons why they don't want a king, why they need to stick with the government that he set up for them, he said, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. And by the way, that's where America's at tonight. America has had every warning. God's preachers and God's men, and no, I'm not talking about the milquetoast, spineless, sorry excuse for pastors across this country who have not warned about it, because they've been in some series that they bought off the internet for $29.95 on, you know, growing in grace, or some, you know, just some generic, bland, not specific thing that they've been preaching again and again and again, week after week, just trying to get that paycheck. I'm talking about God's men that actually read the Bible, that are filled with the Spirit, that preach what's needing to be preached today, have been warning and preaching. This book has warned, and it's just like when Josiah found the book of the law in the temple, and he opened it up and read it, he rent his clothes because he said, God is going to judge us. Because we have broken all these commandments. The warning was there, and we've been warned. And today we've set a king over us. King Obama. And that's why these bunch of milquetoast preachers across America are saying, you know, but fear God, honor the king. I didn't think we had a king. I thought we took care of that a couple hundred years ago. You know, but, oh, you know, King Obama. All of our government that's over us, that wants to enslave us and is enslaving us. You say, why are you so fired up about this? You know, it makes me mad. It makes me mad that this used to be a great country that people died for, that both of my grandfathers received wounds dying for, and my grandfather said to me before he passed away, he just passed away a few weeks ago, but he said to me when he was yet alive, he said, if I would have seen what this country would become, he said, I never would have gone and fought for this country and sacrificed the sacrifice that I made. He said, I wouldn't have done it. He said, if I would have known what it would turn into, he said, I would not have done it. And I don't blame him. Because it's a sad thing to see hundreds of years of heritage and righteousness in this country flushed down the toilet. Amen. Because people are too wicked to change their ways, to understand what's going on, and therefore we're all going to be judged. Right. We're all going to go into captivity. We're all being enslaved. You say, oh, it's not a big deal. Our country is gone. Yeah. I mean, whatever was left, whatever hope was left, of this country getting back on the right track, it's gone. Our country is a completely socialist country now. The government doesn't care what the people want. They don't care what we want. They don't care what people are saying. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to tax the firehouse. You say, well, what's the problem? You know, I have 7 people in my family. Are you listening to me? I have 7 people in my family. You know how much it would cost for me to buy health insurance for my family if I were to buy health insurance? Probably about $15,000 a year for a plan that would cover almost nothing. I already work my fingers to the bone. I already sleep in my car 3 nights a week. I already work and slave and do the work of 2 people so I can write them a big check on April 15th, and I'm sick of it. Tired of it. We don't live in a free country. Free. Let me teach you something about free. Have you ever gone on Soul Winning and used the illustration about how a gift's free? Don't you say that if they have to give you money for it, then it's not free? Yeah. So how am I free when the government's taking all my money away, and now they want me to pay another $15,000 to their corrupt, wicked abortion machine, their corrupt, wicked, perverted birth control pill dispenser, whatever filthy thing, dope dispensing, psychotropic drug dispensing to kids and abortions and all this stuff that I don't believe in, that I want nothing to do with, and I will not do it. I will not buy their insurance. They can take their insurance and shove it. That's what they can do with it. I'm not going to fund all that garbage. I'm not going to fund all their abortions and perverts. They can drop dead as far as I'm concerned, and we're going to get to that in the sermon a little later. Because you know what? I'm not going to be a part of it. I don't want anything to do with it. So I can pay their fines of tens of thousands of dollars or whatever. I'm angry about it. And if you're not angry about it, it's because you just don't know what's going on. Or maybe you just don't know anything about our country or the Bible, or I don't know what the problem is. But let's read in the scripture here. He said, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity, and watch this, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. That's why. Blessed be God that when we say, God, give these wicked people what they deserve, he'll hear our prayer and he'll destroy them like he said he would. Look, if you would, at Psalm 55, you'll find almost the same statement. Look at Psalm 55, verse 21. You see, let me introduce you to the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. It teaches that wicked, ungodly, bloody, deceitful oppressors will get what they deserve, and that's what David was praying to happen, and he said, thank God it will happen. Look at Psalm 55, 21, and compare it, if you would, to Psalm 28, where we just were, verse number 3. Okay, Psalm 55:21 says this: "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." Compare that with Psalm 28, where he said, "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts." You see, many times the person who speaks the most peacefully and the most buttery and smooth and soft is actually the evildoer. You know, they get mad at the person who says something. And people get mad at me all the time for things that I say. I've never done violence to any person in my life. I can stand here and say, I've never harmed a person. Did you hear me? I've never harmed anyone. I've never assaulted anyone. I've never killed anyone. I've never beaten anyone. And yet, I'm in trouble for what I say. And yet, Mr. Smooth Talker is a murderer. Mr. Smooth Talker is an infanticide. Mr. Smooth Talker is a warmonger, and that's okay. You know, it's unbelievable to me that people are deceived by the fair speeches of the wicked. It says here, the words of his mouth, Psalm 55:21, were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Just go up a few scriptures in verse 15 there of Psalm 55. It says, this is David praying. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. You say, pray for Obama. I just did. Let's pray for him right now. Let death seize upon him and let him go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in his dwelling. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what the Bible says. You know? I can't believe you still say that after all the trouble you got. I'll say it until I'm blue in the face or until I drop dead. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. I'm not the one who said it in the first place. You know, these bloody and deceitful evildoers, and they want to make us, they're like Eve in the garden. You know, they want to give you the fruit and make you eat it with them, is what they want to do. It's not enough that they're going to kill babies and put women on a bunch of birth control pills that cause silent abortions and give them IUDs and all these devices that cause abortions and give them all these pills and put children on drugs and put them on psychiatric drugs and dumb them down and slow them down. It's not enough that they're going to do all these sick and perverted things. They have to give you the fruit and say, eat it with me. Yeah. Pay for it. Participate in it. Yeah. No! I wish somebody would stand up to these people. Amen. I wish somebody would stand up and say, I'm sick of it. This is America. Nobody tells me what to do. I am free. I was born free. I was born in the United States of America. I don't have a king. I don't have a slave master. I am a free person, and I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do. No one can force me to do anything. That's what freedom means. Nobody can force me to buy some kind of a health insurance that I don't want, paying for something that I don't believe in. Nobody can force me to do it. Am I free or am I a slave? You know, I thought I was born free. When did the Constitution cease to exist in this country? When did that become null and void? You say, well, you need to obey the powers that be. As far as I know, that Constitution is still enshrined somewhere, behind glass somewhere, in Washington, D.C., and it's supposedly the law of the land. And you know what? I'm falling right within that document, because that document tells me that I'm free. Tells me I'm secure in my person, my property. It tells me I'm the king of my castle. It tells me that I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do. That's what it says. It says the federal government has no power except what's explicitly spelled out. Then it lists off a bunch of my rights 8 times in the first 8 amendments of the Constitution. Then in the 9th Amendment it says, hey, just because we listed 8 things, it doesn't mean that we don't have other rights that aren't even listed here. Because we have all kinds of other rights that aren't even listed. That's what the 9th Amendment says. And then the 10th Amendment says anything that's not explicitly said in this document, the government does not have the power to do it. And that's what we're living in. But our country is being taken over by a communist, socialist revolution. Right now, you can say, I don't want to come to church to hear about politics. Well, pretty soon you won't even be coming to church at all, because the pastor's going to be in jail, and you're going to be in jail, and we're all going to be slaves, and we're all going to be in some kind of a concentration camp somewhere, like we're living in Nazi Germany, if people don't wake up and pay attention to what's going on in this country. And get your head out of stupid American Idol. Get your head out of all the rock and roll bands that are financing this stuff, that are promoting this stuff. Quit listening to Bono and U2 and R.E.M. and Britney Spears and filling your mind with that trash. And then maybe God would look down at you and think that you're righteous enough, and He might even spare the nation that you live in. Because the Bible says, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Turn off American Idol. Turn off the bunch of sodomites and homosexuals that you watch on that television.
Amen.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
Set no wicked thing before your eyes. Quit watching adultery and fornication and rock and roll and all the witchcraft and all of the Harry Potter and what's this vampire one that everybody's into? What's it called?
Twilight.
Godly, right? Undead zombies walking around having love affairs with young teenage girls. Get that trash out of your mind, and maybe you realize what's going on around you.
Amen.
There's no such thing as vampires. I'm driving down the road and see some car, just stickers all over it. It's all about vampires and Twilight. That's why they don't realize what's happening in this country. Well, I do realize what's happening. Because I live in this thing called reality. I go out and work and sweat and toil, and I'm the one who has to just write these checks every month. $1,000 to the state of Texas. I just wrote that check less than a month ago. You know, here $5,000 to the IRS. Just wrote that check. $1,500 to the state of Arizona. You know, I'm just writing just check after check after check after check, over and over again. I don't care. I don't want to hear about Twilight. I don't want to watch Star Wars with you. I'm not interested in the Indiana Jones trilogy. I'm sick of it. That movie came out 20 stupid years ago. Quit watching that garbage. Why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you get a hero like Moses or Caleb or Joshua or Othniel and get some real Bible stories? They're much more exciting than that stupid, far-fetched Hollywood remake garbage. I mean, did they make another Indiana Jones movie? What is it? You know, what are they going to make, another Batman next year? Oh, that'll be cool. Batman Part 12. You know, and you just want to go down here and just watch these filthy sodomites and whoremongers and the Late Show and the Late Late Show and all this stuff, and you wonder why God's judging you.
Yeah.
This is why He's judging us. Because everybody's guilty of it practically in this country. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to get serious about serving God. If we were serving God like we were supposed to in this country, God would heal our land.
Yeah. Right?
But instead, we're filled with worldliness, ungodliness, lasciviousness. We just want to just live this hedonist lifestyle, and just, if it feels good, do it. And you know what? We're all going to suffer for it, because it is coming to an end.
Yeah, right.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Something has to happen. I mean, don't get mad at me. Something has to happen.
Yeah, it
will. It may not happen today. It's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Might happen next year. We don't have long, folks.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know. Is this the end? Is this going into the tribulation? I don't know. But you know what? Whether it is or not, it's the end of this country.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
Yep.
You know, you're blowing it out of proportion. I'm not blowing it out of proportion at all. You may be a little uninformed. That's all right. You know, that's fine. You know, I don't blame you for not wanting to hear about it, because it's so depressing. But, you know, go do a little research and then tell me I'm blowing it out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going to happen in this country. I mean, there's going to be violence. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a scary thought. And, you know, I wish that I had this country for my children to grow up in, but all these Christian pastors, and they're too busy watching TV. They're too busy filling their mind with the world to read the Bible, to even know what it says. And then they want to correct my doctrine just because they don't know what the Bible says. They want to correct me doctrinally and tell me God loves everybody. God doesn't hate anybody. You know, anybody who thinks that is not fit to be a pastor because they haven't even begun to read the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, come on! What do you do with all these verses that say God The wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. What don't you understand about that? What don't you understand about break his teeth, O God, in his mouth? Let him go down quick into hell. Let him go down quick into the bottomless pit. I don't know what people don't understand about this stuff. It's pretty clear in my Bible. But the problem is that those who are filled with the world and ungodliness and wickedness, they can't see it. They're blind. They are blind because the Bible says that it's possible for a Christian, if they don't have the whole package of what God has to offer in 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, add to your faith virtue, all these different things. He said, you know, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see it far off and has forgotten that he's purged of his old sins. And so I just wish people would just get serious about Christianity, wake up, and figure out what's happening in this country because, you know, it's to the point now where it's irreparable damage. So the question is this, are you part of the problem or part of the solution? Because if you're part of the problem, I believe you'll be the first one to go. You'll be the one that gets the judgment. Because you know what I believe? I believe God's going to protect and take care of me. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I explained the financial situation, you know. I explained my personal financial situation. But you know what? I believe that God is going to take care of me financially. I believe that my family will be fed and clothed and taken care of. Hey, I'm not worried about it. Now, it makes me angry because I'm suffering right now. I go out and work a lot harder than I should have to, and just all the fruit of my labor is taken away from me. That's not a fun thing. No. But do I think God's going to forsake me? Absolutely not. But I think God might forsake you if you don't care, if you don't win souls, if you're not doing anything about it, if you're filling your mind with the world, you'll perish with the world. Look at Noah's Ark. I don't believe for one second that Noah was the only man who was saved. That's not a Bible doctrine. Read 1 Peter 3 and 4. He makes it clear that many of the people who died, they were judged according to men after the flesh. They died in that flood, but they were saved in the Spirit, the Bible says. Read 1 Peter 3 and 4. It makes it clear that there were men who were judged according to men. Let me turn there really quick. I don't want to quote it wrong to you. Noah preached for 120 years and nobody got saved. I know I've been in a lot of churches like that. But guess what? They weren't Bible churches. They weren't scriptural churches. You know, if your church is 120 years, you've never baptized anybody, you're just like Noah. Why don't you call it Noah's Ark Baptist Church? You know, and probably one out of eight of you is a sodomite too, like on Noah's Ark. But it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says in verse 6, for this cause, and this is going back to what he was talking about Noah at the end of chapter 3. He's describing Noah, the old world, the flood. He says in verse number 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. You see, who won Noah to the Lord? I mean, Noah's dad, Noah's grandfather, all Noah's relatives that went before him, you know, those people were saved. Somebody was saved. And he preached for 120 years. He's a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible says that there were many that died. The gospel was preached to them also. Yes, they were judged with the world because they lived like the world. Because they didn't get on the ark. Because they were worldly. Because they didn't believe God about the flood and so forth. That, you know, Noah was too fanatical of a preacher or whatever. So they drowned. And let me tell you something. I believe that those who do right, God will deliver the just and protect us. You know, there will be those that die for the cause of Christ and that are in prison. That's part of being a Christian. Some people, that's God's will for their life. You know, Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He was martyred for the cause of Christ. But I believe that God will protect those who've done right. It's that way throughout the Bible. Look at the book of Jeremiah. I love the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man who preached a very unpopular message. He preached a message that nobody wanted to hear. He preached the judgment of God on his nation. He said, the king of Babylon is coming. He will take us captive. And they said, no, we can win. We can do this. We can fight. You know, you're not patriotic. He said, no, we've sinned against God. This is the judgment. We will go into captivity. He preached that message. Everybody hated him. He was thrown in jail. Then he was thrown in the bottom of an outhouse. He sunk down into the mire. One Ethiopian servant cared about him, Ebed-Melech came and got 30 guys to help him. made, tied a bunch of cloths and rags together, lowered them down into Jeremiah. He put them under his armpits because that's all he had the strength to do. And they lifted him up out of that muck and mire. He was put in a jail cell. He ate one piece of bread every day until the bread ran out. And he suffered and was hated and persecuted. But you know what happened? It's interesting. When the king of Babylon came, not in person, but Nebuzaradan, the captain of his host, was the one who led the troops actually in. Nebuzaradan came in and took over, and they took the king, Jehoiakim, and, you know, poked out his eyes. First they killed all of his children right in front of him, then they poked out his eyes. That was the last thing he saw. That's what happened. Read the story. Read the book of Jeremiah. Then, after they punched out his eyes, they sent him into Babylon to captivity. Well, all the children of Israel are being led by the thousands into captivity, and Jeremiah is among them. Nebuzaradan, the captain of hosts, comes to Jeremiah and said, you know what? God is the one who sent us here to do this. And he said, I know that you prophesied the truth. You're the servant of God. He said, you are free to go. He untied his bonds and he said, go here. Come with us to Babylon. Go back home. He said, here's some money for the road. He said, go in peace. You're a man of God. See how God protected him? And he ended up being the one who was spared the judgment. Even though he was persecuted, even though he went through tribulation and persecution for what he believed, he was spared by God. God knows how to deliver the righteous out of affliction. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. Jeremiah didn't live the Joel Osteen's best life now. He wasn't living his best life now in the bottom of an outhouse. Okay? But let me tell you something. He ended up being spared from judgment. God took care of him. And the longest book in the Bible has his name on it, because Psalms and Jeremiah are pretty much identical in length. Very long books of the Bible. And so God knows how to deliver those that are righteous. But you know what? Most Christians in this country are part of the problem. They're compromised. They don't stand for anything that they believe in. What good is it when we have the right to vote when Christians vote for people that aren't even pro-life through and through? They vote for the abortionists themselves. Just because they believe that a child should have to get parental consent before getting an abortion. Oh, wow, thank you. You radical, you. Whoa there. You conservative animal, you. You know? You know, and they vote for warmongers. They vote for whoremongers. They vote for abortion promoters and protectors. You know, McCain. I don't care whether you like this or not. This is Faithful Word Baptist Church. It was here before you got here, and it'll be here after you're gone. McCain said he wanted to donate hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood. Don't talk to me about McCain. Yeah. It's true.
Amen.
That's right.
All these Republicans, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's garbage. Yeah. I won't give you a nickel for any of them. I'm going to tell you something. We need to wake up in this country, turn from our wicked ways, and stop compromising and saying the lesser of two evils. Hogwash. I want no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'd rather just reprove them.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, we need to wake up. You say, oh, you're going to change things? I'm not going to change anything. It's over. It's too late. It's done. But all I know is that I'm going to be standing at the end of it all. Are you? Are you, when they get to you, are you going to stand up? Are you going to have God's word in your heart when they take away your Bible and tell you that it's a hateful book?
Yeah.
Well, I already took it out of the schools.
That's right.
50 years ago. Nobody cared. And then people send their kids to that school where the Bible's not even welcome. If the Bible's not welcome, my kids aren't welcome.
Amen.
If the Bible's not welcome, I'm not welcome. Mm-hmm. Churches today have public school ministries where they go into public schools and have a ministry where they're not allowed to mention the name of Jesus. No thanks. I'll stick with door-to-door soul winning. I don't need Responsibility USA ministry to go in and teach kids, you know, to be saved and not to drink and not to smoke. Drink and smoke and don't drink, don't smoke, go to hell. No, I'd rather that you drink and smoke and get saved than go to heaven. I'm not going to walk into school and not mention the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the name that's above all names. That name will be on my lips at all times. It's not just the Creator. It's not just the Supreme Being. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Son of the Living God. If He's not welcome, I'm not welcome. And I don't want to go support some healthcare system that believes that there's no God. That's what the doctor believes, that God does not exist, that you're an animal. Look, that hospital down there, what's it called, St. Luke's, you know, it's a veterinary clinic, my friend. It is. veterinary reform is what the healthcare reform ought to be called.
Yeah.
That's what they believe.
That's right.
They're treating animals, you know. And so they have to herd us like animals, and we have to all get our shots, and we get our feeding trough, and we got to get our nap time, and we're put in a cage like an animal. We have to be imprisoned because, you know, God forbid we'd have any freedom. We wouldn't know what to do. It'd be like a calf looking at a new gate. It'd be like a cow that doesn't have a barbed wire fence. We wouldn't know what to do. We'd be like sheep having no shepherd. I'm a human being. I'm created in the image of God.
Amen.
I can make my own decisions, thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be treated like an animal. And I don't want to go to a doctor who thinks I'm an animal.
Mm-hmm.
He's a veterinarian.
Right.
Imagine going to a veterinarian. You know, that's what we ought to do if it's too expensive, the health care.
Yeah.
Just start going to the vet, because the vet's cheaper, isn't it? How much does it cost to get surgery on your dog? $1,000?
$2,000?
$2,000? How much does it cost to get surgery on a human being? $20,000. It's the same philosophy. It should be mammal.
Yeah.
I'm a mammal, the dog's a mammal. There are dogs that are bigger than I am. I've seen a dog weigh, you know, 175 pounds, and I weigh 170 pounds tonight. I lost some weight. You know, not bigger, because, you know why I lost weight, by the way? Because I was working so hard. I've only eaten 2 meals a day for the last 4 days, because I was working 16, 18, 20-hour days every single day, and driving all night. That's why I only ate. If you notice, I lost some weight, because I don't have time to eat. I'm too busy paying for people to abort their children. That's why. You say, preach the Bible. Why preach the Bible? Why preach the Bible to you if you're not going to read the Bible and take the Bible seriously and obey the Bible and you're going to disobey things that the Bible says and not care what it says? Why do I need to preach the Bible? And the people right now that do read the Bible, that do believe what I'm saying, that do obey the Word of God, they don't have a problem with what I'm preaching at all right now. And the people who do have a problem with it are the ones that need to hear it the most. And if you want the Bible, go home and read it for a change. If you don't like this kind of preaching, because you obviously have never read the book of Jeremiah or the book of Psalms, because they were too long. You know, I know you digested Philemon, no problem. But the two most negative books in the Bible are Jeremiah and Psalms. Psalms damns more people to hell than any other book in the Bible. It's the truth. Now, let's get back into our regular scheduled broadcast. This program was interrupted for a political statement from Pastor Anderson. Let's get back to our regular scheduled broadcast. God's good tonight, and we love you, and we're glad you're here. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 14. I want to show you about the bottomless pit, because he said, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit." In Psalm 28, where we started tonight, he said, "I don't want to be like those that go down into the pit." And by the way, quit being like people that go down into the pit. Quit dressing like people that are going down into the pit.
Yeah.
Quit listening to the music of people who are going down into the pit. Quit talking and acting like people that are going down into the pit.
Yeah.
Here, I'm preaching Psalms again. I'm back in chapter 28. I'm back on track. Okay, I'm with it. Hey, your heroes are going into the pit. Get some heroes that are going to heaven.
Yes.
And quit dressing like all these bunch of worldly devils. Okay, the pit, though. What is the pit? It's hell. Let me prove it to you. Look at Isaiah 14, verse 15. It says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." You see, it's one and the same. The comma there is restating. He said, "You'll be brought down to hell, comma." Let me tell you what that is. The sides of the pit. So, the pit is hell. I have a whole page of verses on that, but just take my word for it. Or read Ezekiel 28, 31, and 32. That says that you go down into the pit, you're going down into hell, the bottomless pit, and so forth. Hell is a pit. Hell is down. The Bible says that hell is in the lower parts of the earth. And Ezekiel 30 and 31, it calls it the nether parts of the earth. Nether is another word for lower. It means that down in the depths of the earth, in the center of the earth, is a physical, real place called hell. That's hot, there's fire there. Even the veterinarian believes that, with 8 years of scientific training at a university. Even the vet believes that, because he believes that the earth is filled with a liquid, molten substance in the middle that's really, really hot, but hell is a figment of our imagination. But there is this really hot place in the center of the earth, and it's burning hot, and it's thousands of degrees Fahrenheit, and they don't know what it is, and it's liquid, And it's, you know, after 1 to 10 miles thickness of crust, it's nothing but molten fire and lava and brimstone and sulfur. But hell's not real, you know, the veterinarian. Magma, mantle, core is all real. Well, the Bible says that that's where hell is. It says that it's in the heart of the earth. Have you ever eaten an artichoke heart? Where is the artichoke heart found? In the center. That's where the heart of the earth is. Jesus said Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's why he said, this spake he of the resurrection of Christ, Acts 2:31, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. And so the pit, hell, nether part of the earth, bottomless pit, are all one and the same. It's talking about hell. He said, I don't want you to be silent to me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Look at Psalm 28, verse 2. The other verse won't take this long. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their heart. Don't be fooled by what people say. Let me give you some advice here based on verse 3. Look at what people do, not what they say. Because a lot of times there's a big difference between what people say and what they do. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, they're hypocrites, for they say and do not. So the Pharisees were saying a lot of the right things. They preached a lot of the rules of the Old Testament, and those were God's rules. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin. But he said, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Mercy, truth, grace, truth, something like that. I forget the list off the top of my head. He said, these ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He said, I'm glad that you pay your tithe. He said, I'm glad that you follow the rules. I'm glad that you preach the law. And he said, all things whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works. He said, they say it, do not. You see, you got to look at what people do, not what they say. There are a lot of people that talk the talk. That doesn't mean that they necessarily walk the walk.
That's right.
He says here, people say a lot of the right things. Peace is in their heart, and they speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. And he says this, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Does that sound like he's asking God to forgive these people? No. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their dessert. And he's not talking about an ice cream cone. Because that means their dessert means that which they deserve. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. So, David here had some wicked people, and this is kind of a lot of the Psalms. He had a lot of wicked people attacking him. A lot of people trying to harm him, and he's crying out to God. He's lifting up his hands toward God's oracle. He's saying, answer my prayer, be not silent to me, protect me from these people, listen to me. But in the midst of it all, he said, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. God is not going to let you down. God will protect you. God will take care of you. He said, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. You know, that ought to be the song of our heart, by the way. Mm-hmm. On a daily basis, songs of praise to God. Honestly, I mean, every single day, we should be praising God and sing. If God's done great things for you, who here can say, God has done great things for me?
Amen.
I mean, hey, you're saved.
Yeah.
And you know, none of us deserves to be saved.
Right.
And yet, we're saved. Yet, and not only that, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We will inherit the kingdom with him. We have a mansion waiting for us in heaven. If you're reading the King James. If you read the NIV, you're going to get there and you have a room. Okay? That's what it says. In the NIV, it says, in my Father's house are many rooms. You know, and you get a key, it's like Motel 6, and you scan the little card, and you go in the room, and that's where you stay. You know, if you're lucky, you'll get two beds and Wi-Fi. Okay? But basically, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. No. God promised us a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hey, all of our sins are blotted out. As far as the east is from the west, God has separated us from our sins. While we're speaking of the pit, listen to this verse on the pit. If I can find it, give me 1 second here. It's in my notes here. It's a great verse. Listen to this. Isaiah 38:17. You don't have to turn there. Behold, for peace I have great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And listen to this. How did he do it? How did he deliver us from that pit of corruption? Hell. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What a blessing that our sins are cast behind his back. I thank God that as far as the east is from the west, so far God has separated us from our sins. I thank God that in Hebrews 10:17 he said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're gone. Our sins are blotted out. They are not even remembered before God. Thank God for the forgiveness that we have.
Amen.
Thank God for the salvation that we have, the home in heaven that we have, the Holy Spirit that we have that walks with us and talks with us and guides us and comforts us. When we go to bed alone, he's with us.
Yeah.
When we wake up, he'll talk with us, the Bible says. We never have to be alone. We never go through life alone. He said, be content with such things as ye have, for he had said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't wish that you had something that you don't have. It should be enough that God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That should be enough. Man will leave you and forsake you. He'll let you down. But not Jesus. He'll always be there. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Remember last week, Psalm 27? You see, God is not going to let you down. He'll be there for you. He will always stand up for you and protect you and love you and all these things. And that's something to sing about. What does the world have to sing about? Do you ever stop and listen to the lyrics of the world song? You know, I don't listen to all this rock and roll and pop music that's on the radio, obviously. But, you know, people who've worked with me, you know, Brett's wearing a work shirt. You know, he's worked with me. Sometimes we'll be working in one of these stores that we work in, one of these department stores or drug stores. We're doing the fire alarm. And, you know, I pretty much just tune out the music. I mean, after a while, you just kind of tune it out. But every once in a while, I'll be working with somebody like Brett or somebody else, and all of a sudden, I'll just start to hear the music. And I'll start to listen to what it's saying. And somebody, I don't know if I've ever said this to you, but sometimes I'll just look. I said this to Scott like 2 days ago. I was like, is this just the stupidest thing you've ever heard? You know, we're like, is this guy a queer or what? You know, it's be like, you know, what is this song about? Like, listen to what it's saying. You know that the lyrics are stupid. Think about it. Think about the world. I can't think of any right now, thank God. But, you know, I'm trying to think of a stupid song. Somebody help me out. You know, but you'll just be listening to lyrics, it's just this mindless chant of just stuff like someone, you know, and then you listen to most of this music, you can't quite understand exactly what they're saying. So you get the CD, you're like, oh, the lyrics. You know what I'm talking about? The big fold-out sleeve, and you get the lyrics, and you start reading them, and it's like, it's hard to make heads or tails of it sometimes. Like, one time I heard this song, and I was like, I thought I might know what it was about, and then I opened the lyrics, and I was like, I don't think this song's about anything. Seriously. Anybody who's listened to rock music knows that I'm telling the truth. Thank God that every song I sing has something to sing about.
Amen. Amen.
I open this songbook and sing songs about the blood and salvation and Jesus Christ and going to heaven, you know, the second coming of Christ. I'm glad I have something to sing about. You know, because I'm thankful to God. And when I come to church and sing, I sing from my heart. I'm not going through the motions. And throughout the week, I sing from my heart because I'm thankful to God. Because I'm happy about being saved. Because I'm happy about having forgiveness of sin. I mean, how many times I've sung "It Is Well With My Soul" with a tear in the eye.
Good.
As I think, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord,
oh my soul. Amen. How many times have I said, though Satan should buffet and trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul.
Amen.
And you know, let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Let our controllers and Obama and Pelosi and these filthy animals that run our country. Yes, I said that. They treat us like animals. I'm going to call them the brute beast that God calls them.
Sure.
You know, they think I'm an animal. They think I'm their cattle.
You know, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? Where do I sign on the dotted line?
You know, I mean, I was driving through California and saw a bunch of cows with like an electronic barcode thing on their eardrum. Who knows what I'm talking about? Pretty soon we're going to have one on our eardrum.
That's right.
Because we're just cattle to them. You know, pretty soon we're going to have an electric fence that we keep running into when we get into unauthorized territory. You know, which is like 90-some percent of the state of Arizona is like state land or federal land. It's true. I looked at a map of Arizona one time. The private property was like these thin little lines. And there's just all this just public land. Oh, great. Does that mean I can go camp there? Public, right? Can I go camp? Can I sleep on the public land? Or can I pick a fruit off a tree and eat it? Can I kill an animal and roast it over the fire and eat it? What does that have to do with Psalm 28? I need to stay focused tonight. All right. God's going to protect us. God's our shield. And man, do we need a shield? With all the junk that's coming at us right now. You better have a shield. I mean, if you don't have a shield, I don't know what you do. With all the smut that you see when you drive down the road, it's a good thing that I have a shield. You know, when I walk into the grocery store, I got my shield up.
Good.
When I go down the road, I got a shield up. When I drive down University Drive trying to go buy alarm parts and I have to drive by 20 strip clubs, I put up my shield. Because you know what I do whenever I see these images being thrown at me and the devil tries to hurl these darts at me and tries to tempt me with the flesh and the lust of the eyes? I put up my shield. Because the Bible says every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. God's word is the shield. The shield of faith, and faith cometh by hearing God's word. Faith is placed in God's word. I put up that shield and I always say this. Whenever I see the dirty magazine, and boy, there it's often. I say this, I say, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's what I quote every time. I say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate, oh, you're so hateful, Pastor Anderson. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Because I say, man, I don't want this stuff to cleave with me. I don't want these images to cleave to me and I walk away and they're flashing before my mind. I'm not going to fill my mind with this stuff. You know, it's not going to cleave to me. I don't want it to cleave to me. God's word is a shield. The word of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe, the Bible says. Let God's word shield you from the assault. And you know, at the same time, you know, I'm glad that I had a chance to get that off my chest and breathe a little fire about this Obama veterinary plan, okay? I'm glad I got to rant and rave about that a little bit, you know, and put it in your pipe and smoke it, you know. But I'll say this. I'm not all doom and gloom about it, because I'm on the winning side. I'm angry about it. I'm upset about it. I'm going to pray the same kind of death wish upon these people as David prayed upon them in his day, because I'm a man of God like David was a man of God. Why don't you learn how to be one sometime? And basically, I'm going to do the same thing and say the same thing. But I'm not all doom and gloom about it because I'm on the winning side. God's my shield. God's my protector. And when this world is dust, I'll still be ruling and reigning with Christ. If you're saved, so will you. We shall reign forever and ever, the Bible says. Forever. You say 1,000-year reign. Nope. In Revelation 22, after the millennium, He says we'll reign forever. Reign forever of His kingdom, it says in the book of Daniel. There shall be no end. We're on the winning side. And long after Obama is burning in hell, and when he's been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, you know, he's no less days to burn in hell, we will still be praising God in heaven.
Amen.
We're on the winning side. Fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What can they really do from me at the end of the day? What are they going to take from me? I wanted to reach out and pull out my wallet. It's not in my pocket. It's at home. Okay. But if I had my wallet in my pocket right now, I would have pulled it out and just show you that there's nothing in it. No money. Okay. Who has a wallet? wallet with some money. Give me your wallet. You got any money in it? Oh, you're married. I need somebody who's single. Married people don't have any money in their wallet. Yeah, here we go. The single guys. Man, this thing's packed with cash.
This is what I
What are they going to take from me? A picture of Andrew Jackson? You know, and you know, thank God for Andrew Jackson, by the way. Thank the Lord for Andrew Jackson. It's so perverted to put his face on a Federal Reserve note when he was the man who fought against the central bank more than any other president. And they put him on a Federal Reserve note.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Andrew Jackson, that we've let you down in this country. And, you know, what are they going to take from me? Pieces of paper? You know, or worse yet, what are they going to take from me? You know, my credit card? You know, all the imaginary money that I spend every day, little white pieces of paper that I sign that say, I promise to pay this someday.
It's funny because I had a credit card for years. For years I had a credit card and I signed it and signed it and signed it. And one day I'm like, what am I signing?
Has anybody ever read the receipt that you signed, what it says? I mean, I signed like 200 of them before I read it, you know. Just sign it. I picked it up and read it. It said, I promise to pay this amount. So now every time I go, like, whenever I go to a store and sign it, I always say, I promise. I always say it out loud while I sign it. I say, I promise to pay this someday. What can they do? Take away our money. Take away all the fictitious pieces of paper and all the things we have. You know what they can't take from me? The Bible. Because even if they took the Bible out of my hand, I've got enough of it committed to memory to where I could quote it and quote it and quote it for hour upon hour upon hour, whole books of the Bible. I've got the Word of God in my heart. It's always with me. No one can take it away from me. What can they do? What can they do? Destroy my body? Maim the body? I'll get a new body.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
You know, everybody's body has imperfections and ailments.
Yeah.
You know, my right middle finger's messed up. You know, I can't make a fist with my right hand. Man, one day I'll have a brand new... Go ahead, just finish me off. My finger's no good, nuts the whole thing. One day, I'll get a brand new body. And thank God, no sickness, no pain. That's something to be thankful for. That's something to praise God about. Yeah. And so, yes, we're in heaviness for a season, but yet we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of great glory. Amen. See, you've got to have the balance in your life of having anger and hate toward the abomination that runs our president, Obama Nation, that runs our country.
Yeah.
And the balance of just rejoicing in Jesus Christ and saying, you know what? We're saved.
Yeah.
It's going to come upon their own head. Would you trade places with these people? No. Flying around in Air Force One, eating their lobster and champagne? I wouldn't trade places with them for one second, because this life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to flourish in the tents of the wicked. Yeah. I would rather be on the winning side. I'd rather suffer every day for the rest of my life and never have enough food to eat and be cold every day and not properly clothed and to go to heaven and reign with Jesus than to go to hell. Yeah. So I wouldn't trade places with them for one second. Plus, at least I have some respect for myself. You know what I mean? What's that worth? What's it worth to wake up in the morning and say, praise God, you know, I'm doing the right thing? And I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner just like you are. And there are times when I sin and have to weep before God and say that I'm sorry. And you know, I'm sure that I sin on a daily basis, because the thought of foolishness is sin, the Bible says. Even just a foolish thought is a sin. But I'm going to tell you something. Guilt is a terrible thing. I'd rather live with hunger than guilt. I'd rather live with famine and cold and nakedness than guilt. Because there's something about having a clear conscience when you go to bed at night and confess your sins to God and say, I'm doing right. That is better than all the food, all the comfort, everything. Having a clear conscience before God and man. That's what Paul said. He said, I exercise myself always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. And you can have that clear conscience tonight, by the way, no matter who you are. You go to bed tonight and you get on your knees and you say sorry to God for the sins that you've been involved in and for the sins you've committed. And, you know, if you don't know what they are, I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll tell you what they are. It's all the junk that you watch on TV. That's part of it. It's any alcohol that you drink. That's another place to start. It's all the junk that you fill your mind with. It's all the blasphemy that could come out of your mouth. Hopefully, God forbid, if it would come out of the mouth of anybody in this church. It's all your worldliness and ungodly friends. That's what it is. Okay? Get on your knees and just confess it to God and say, God, I want to do what's right. Help me to do what's right. Help me to do better. Fill me with the Spirit, God. I don't want to walk in the flesh. I want to put on the new man. In Jesus' name, amen. You go to bed with a clear conscience and you can sleep like a baby no matter what you do. You say, you don't know what I've done. Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
And you can have a clear conscience through Christ. But those who will not admit that they've sinned and those who persist in their sin, they live with guilt, even if they're saved. They live in guilt. Get rid of the guilt. But you can't get rid of the guilt until you admit you've done wrong and turn from it. Confess it and forsake it. And wake up tomorrow morning with a clear conscience. What's that worth? You think that Obama has a clear conscience? You think Pelosi has a clear conscience? You think George W. Bush has a clear conscience? You think John McCain has a clear conscience? These people know that they are one heartbeat away from hell. They're one heartbeat from roasting in hell. They know that they're wicked. They know what they've done. They're not happy. They're evil.
Yes.
They're already being destroyed. They're going to be destroyed, and they want to destroy as many as they can. They're just like Satan. They're like the devil. They're like a human version of Satan, just on a TikTok. I mean, does anybody have a doubt here that Satan is going to spend eternity in hell eventually?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'm pretty sure that he understands that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wise. The Bible says he's wiser than Daniel. I'm sure he understands the fact that he's doomed.
Yeah.
And so do they. So do the evil architects of evil in our country. And the people behind the Hollywood faces that are really controlling Obama and these people that are really behind the scenes, you know, they don't have a clear conscience. I wouldn't trade places with them for one second. I'd rather pray and fast than to feast with them. Period. We're on the winning side. Let your songs be praises to God. Get the new song in your mouth, even praise to our God. Not the world song, not the song of fools. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than to listen to the song of fools, the Bible says. But he says this in verse number 7. He said, with my song will I praise him. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of the anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Now, I preached on Sunday morning about prayer. And I hope that sunk in. I hope you did some praying since then. But maybe you did some extra prayer or thought more about prayer, because I hope that the Word of God that I preached in that sermon stirred you up a little bit about prayer and motivated you to pray a little bit. You say, Pastor Anderson, teach us to pray. Remember when they said that to Jesus? Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. You know, this is how to pray right here. I mean, this is it right here, the book of Psalms. You want to know how to pray? Read Psalms. Here's a great prayer. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Pray for God's people. You know, pray for your fellow church member and your brother and sister in Christ, that God will feed them, that God will lift them up, that God will save us from the destruction that's coming. Pray. I've prayed many times. And by the way, I don't pray for America. Did you hear me? I stopped praying for America because I explained to somebody, I have a line that if America crosses this line, I will pray not for God to bless America ever again, because it's too wicked. It's not right for me to pray for God to bless wickedness.
Man.
It's just wrong. Okay, and that's a whole other sermon. But there's plenty of scripts on that where he said, pray not for this people. And he explained all the wicked things there. And I told my good friend, the same guy that marched around the neighborhood 7 times and everything, but he didn't blow a trumpet. Remember that story Saturday morning? That same friend, I told him, I said, when America gets to this certain point, and that's a whole other sermon. I don't want to confuse the sermon by bringing up what it was that I brought up. I preached in another sermon. I said, when America gets to this certain point, Brother Reggie, I said, I will no longer pray for God to bless America. I'll pray for God to destroy America. And America crossed that line a long time ago. So I don't pray for God to bless America. But you know what I pray? I pray that God's people will be saved. That's what I pray. I pray, I say, oh God, would you please keep me and my family safe? Would you keep your people? I say, God, look down upon, and this is what I pray. I'll be honest with you. You know what?
you may not like me, and there's some people who don't like me, and there's probably some people in this room that don't like me. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. With me, what you see is what you get. Okay? Now, you know, go to some other church and find the guy whose mouth is smoother than oil, and that's not me. And I've never claimed to be that. You know, I've never claimed to be Mr. Silver Tongue. But let me explain something to you. With me, I'm just real. And you know what? With me, I'm telling you the truth. Okay? Amen. This is what I pray. Now, whether you like it or not or whatever, I'm just telling you what I pray. And you can believe me that this is what I pray. I prayed that. I was just praying this last few days. I prayed and I said, God, just please look down upon everybody in this country who's a soul-winning Christian, who loves you, who's winning people to Christ, who reads their Bible. You know, just look down at the people that you see as righteous, that are doing right. Just like you looked down and saw Noah and these other people that found grace there. I just say, God, just protect us. Just keep us safe when your judgment comes. When you pour out your wrath, dear God, don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. That's what I pray. I just pray, God, protect me. God, I'm not part of this. Protect me. And I say, protect my wife. Protect my children. Protect the people in my church. And I'll call the names of people in the church. And I'll think about other churches and other Christians across America. I just say, God, and it's a scriptural prayer. It's straight out of Psalm 28:9. We just read it. Save thy people. You know, if please just protect your people. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free. That's what songs were scriptural, by the way. Amen. Protect your people from tribulation, God. Let us escape, dear God. Let us be saved. Let us be, and make us free. Whenever I hear a song that says, set us free, I know they're reading the NIV. Yep. Every song in this hymnal. Do you see the hymnal in my hand? Every old song in this hymnal, all the old hymns, they all say, make us free. I mean, I could list for you a bunch of songs. You know, thou hast made us free. I mean, just on and on. It's make us free, make us free. Because that's what the Bible says in the King James Version. All these new songs, it's, you know, set me free, why don't you, babe? You know, when you walk in the church. It's always like, and honestly, whenever you're in these liberal churches and it's Bill Gaither and all these modern Christian contemporary and Southern gospel, it's always set me free, set us free, set us free. No, the Bible says you should know the truth and the truth shall make you.
Amen.
That's how you can tell where their reading material is coming from, by the terminology. Yeah. See, we want to be free. We want liberty. We love America. What it used to be. We don't love our government. We don't. We don't. Oh, hey, you're like, really? Oh. Oh, you just woke up. Thanks for joining up. No, we don't. We don't support what our country is doing because it's evil. And, you know, I don't care if people don't like that. It's okay. Doesn't matter. It's true. And so we need to get back to, in our own personal lives, holiness and righteousness and godliness. It's too late for our country. It's too late. Don't say that there's hope for our country, because there's not. I'll prove it to you from the Bible. There's been innocent blood shed in this country, and it must be required at the hand of our nation. It cannot be fixed. The only way to solve it would be to put to death everyone who shed the innocent blood, and that will never happen. That's what the Bible says. The only way that the land can be cleansed of innocent blood is to put to death and shed the blood of all those who... You know, Garrett preached a similar sermon on this not too long ago. He was talking about the same thing. That's how the land is cleansed from innocent blood. As soon as every abortion doctor and all these congressmen and all these different people are all put to death, you know, and all the people who participate in any way, which is like millions and millions of people, then it'll be... It's not going to happen. God's going to do it. And it's going to be ugly. It's too late, but you know what? It's not too late for me and you. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Amen.
You see, we can be spared. We may have to go through suffering. We may go through hard times. Everybody's going through a famine here pretty soon. You know? Whatever is going to be the cause of all this. And in the Bible, God's people went through famines, but you know what? He always seemed to take care of them. You know, he kept them alive. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, the Bible says.
And so I believe that God's going to take care of me. But woe, woe, woe unto this nation, and woe unto those that are a part of it, and part of the problem, and that participate in it. I will not participate in it. I will not vote for any of these people that are destroying our country. I won't do it. I will not empower them. I will not stand for them. I will not promote them. I will not be a part of it in any way, shape, or form. I want to just keep my hands clean of it. You know, it's to the point where pretty soon it's going to be impossible. Are you listening to me? It's going to be impossible to do the right thing in this country and be within the law.
Yes, right.
It's true. Because that's how Germany is right now.
Yeah.
If you live in Germany, your kids will be taken to the public school at gunpoint. Not, it might happen. It happens. It's in the news all the time. Even in America. Who's seen stuff like that in the news about Germany? People being, yeah, you know, homeschool families being, yeah, being taken at gunpoint. Children being abducted from their parents and so on. You can't do what's right in Germany. You can't do it. You try it, you want to have a bunch of kids like the Bible says? Good luck. You want to raise them right? You want to teach them the things of God? No. It's all against the law, doing all the right things. And you know what? That's when God's people are in a bad place. When it's illegal to do the right thing. Because then they have a choice to make. They can either sin against God. You know, and for example, it's illegal to spank your children in Germany. Same thing. You know, and so, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to spank your children. People do go to jail. They do get arrested in Germany. It's not just a ban from you. What are you going to do? Are you going to spank the child? And maybe you might go to jail. You might have your children taken away. You might be incarcerated, fined, whatever. And you know what? That's why freedom is so important. People tell me, I just don't care about what's happening in the world. I just don't care about politics.
Yeah.
You call it what you want. Call it politics. It's called our life. It's where we live. It's our country. It's us. It's our future. It's our children's future. That's what it is.
That's right.
It's not politics. It's our life.
Amen.
It's our money that we use to feed ourselves. Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever seen me driving a fancy car or anything? I mean, you know, has anybody seen me out blowing money? No. I'm just trying to live my life, okay? I'm not trying to be wealthy. I don't want to be rich. I'm just trying to live my life here. And, you know, my life is being hindered. My life is being encroached upon when I'm being forced to do things that I don't believe in. But the bottom line is this. Nobody can truly take away my freedom because Jesus Christ has made me free.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that if you're a servant in the flesh, you're free in Christ. And if you're free in the flesh, he said you're Christ's servant. And let me tell you something. Nobody can make me do something that I don't want to do. They can't. That nobody can make me deny what I believe. Nobody can make me take back any of the things that I've said across this pulpit, and they never will. They can intimidate me and threaten me and put out a warrant for my arrest and whatever they want. They cannot make me take back the things that I've said, and I will not take them back.
Amen.
And nobody can make me participate in something that I don't believe in. And nobody can make me go down to the doctor and get a bunch of injections that I don't believe in and have my children injected with things that I don't believe in. Nobody can make me do it.
Amen.
And they can come to my house, they can come down with a shotgun, and but they can't make me do it. All they can do is just pull the trigger.
Yep.
And let me tell you something. This is where we're getting in this country.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you need to get a history book, read about the Soviet Union. Read about Nazi Germany. Read about what's happened all throughout the world. It's happening right now in communist China.
Yeah.
It's happening in other places across the world. Just in Gilbert, Arizona. How far away is Gilbert from here, Dave? Yeah. This was less than a mile from Brother Dave's house. A church was shut down from having a Bible study in a house. 20 minutes from here. Less, I mean, they gave the intersection. That's your intersection, Brother Dave. What, Gilbert and Ray Road? That's what they said? Where are you at? Higley and Ray. So what's that, a mile away? Yeah, a couple miles. Gilbert and Ray Road, they said, a church is not allowed to have a home Bible study. They had like 13 people studying the Bible in a house. They said it's illegal in Gilbert, Arizona. Did you hear that? They said it was illegal. They said you're not allowed to have a fellowship activity. No church fellowship activity. I mean, you can't have an ice cream social at your house. You can have a beer party. You can watch the Super Bowl. You can eat potato chips and beer nuts and watch Obama be inaugurated. But you can't have a Bible. You can't have a Bible study. You can't have a church ice cream fellowship. You can't have a leadership meeting. They said you can't have the leadership of your church get together and have a meeting about the future of the church in a home in Gilbert, Arizona. That's the law, and not only the law, it was enforced. This Oasis Church, or whatever it was called, was forced out, fined, and they were forced to pay money to rent a space to have their Bible studies because they're not allowed to do it in the home anymore. Are we living in communist China? Isn't that what happens in China? They tell people they can't meet in their house and read the Bible together? That's in Phoenix now. I wish some young man would just go start a church in Gilbert, Arizona in his house. That's what I wish would happen. I wish some married man would start a church in Gilbert, Arizona, in his house, and tell them to go drop dead. That's what I heard. That's what I thought of when I heard that story. That's where we're at now. You have to have a permit to have church, they said. I don't need anybody's permission to have church except Jesus. You think I need permission to be here right now? Oh, thank you for letting me preach. And then they'll say, well, you can't have a permit because you're a hate group. You know, or you can't have a permit. That's what they'll say. Yeah. You can't have a permit. Did you know that in Tempe, to go door-to-door soul winning, you have to have a permit? Ask me if I have a permit. That's a good one. Probably like, you know, when you get that permit, you probably submit what you're going to be handing out for approval. I'm sure they'll love the invitation to our church. They'll love that doctrinal statement. You literally, it's true. In Tempe, the city ordinance said that it is illegal for us to knock on somebody's door or to put a church invitation on their door. Ask me if I care. Because there's a bigger law. You say, obey the law. Yes, I will. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law.
Amen.
That impeaches or encroaches upon the freedom of religion. That abridges the freedom of religion, the exercise of religion, and the state of Arizona has a similar provision in the Arizona Constitution. Those things all protect me and my rights as an American. I will go soul winning. I will have church. And we started the church in our house, and if I did start another church, I'd start it again in the house. Because that's what the Bible says. Ananias and Sapphira had the church. Or not Ananias and Sapphira, good night. They were the ones who said, God. Who were those other people?
The good ones.
Priscilla and Aquila. They had church in their house. Philemon had church in the house. Five times in the Bible they had church in the house. But they didn't live in Gilbert, Arizona. You know, Gilbert, Arizona, you know, if they would have been living there, they would have had to go rent a little strip mall, you know, to start the church. You know, I can see Paul writing to Philemon. You know, Philemon, you know, I've heard how they made you go to that strip mall, brother, you know. You had to get a permit again. I don't need permission to preach. I don't need permission. And hey, let me just say this. My body, my choice. You know, get your laws off my body. Okay? I'm serious. This is my body. You're not going to inject my body with aborted fetuses that are called vaccines. You know, you're not going to inject my body with drugs. No, this is my body, my choice. And if you're going to inject me with something, you're going to have to strap me down and do it. This is my body and my children's body and my wife's body are sacred. If something's going to be injected, it's going to be because I said it's going to be injected, not because the government said it's going to be injected. Period. Now let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, dear God. And Father, people may not like this kind of sermon. Maybe they do. Doesn't really matter. I don't really care. But Father, if this is the preaching that we had across America, maybe then we wouldn't be in the position that we're in. If people would stand up and say, this is the line, this is where we say you're not going to cross this line. And Father, I just pray that you would please keep us safe, dear God. Answer our prayer. Guide us, direct us, and shelter us from the storm that's coming, dear God. And Father, I believe that you will do that. I believe that like Jeremiah, I'll be preserved. But whether I am or not, dear God, I still won't bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up, whether I'm delivered or not. And so, Father, I just pray that every single person here would have the backbone to stand up for what's right. Because, Father, we are living in perilous times. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the day is going to bring forth. Some bad things are coming, God, and I know it, and you know it. And it might not be today, but it's going to be tomorrow. But, Father, I pray that you would give every person here the strength to stand firm for what they believe, not to cave in, not to give in or water down. And God, help us to be in church. We need church more than ever right now. A place to be with believers, to be strengthened in what we believe, dear God. Help us to be in church. Help us to have the Word of God in our hearts memorized, dear God. Help us to have the two-edged sword in our hand and the high praises of God in our mouth. Bless us, preserve us, keep us, dear God. Hear us. Don't be silent to us. We don't want to be like those that go to the pit, dear God. Listen to us as we cry out for mercy from you, dear God. We are not the problem. We are not the ones who destroyed this country, God. Let it come down upon their own heads, dear God, but preserve us and keep your people safe. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's sing 143, Blessed Assurance, 143. Song number 143. Let's sing it out, song number 143. Let's sing on the first verse.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.